First Thessalonians chapter 4. Just going to read one verse. I'm going to have you turn to another place. We're going to go to a lot of passages. We're starting at 20 minutes to 8. So if you get hungry, we'll order pizza. It might be a while, but you don't know. All right, furthermore, verse 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Right. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, last verse in chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, there is great advantage in the life of every believer to please God, not to get to heaven, obviously so, but because we have been saved, every one of us who have believed on Him, believed on Christ, and received Him by faith alone. I didn't grow up that way. I probably grew up in opposition to that, or it just wasn't talked about. But there was no clarity of anything. There was speaking of Christ and speaking of heaven and speaking of love and blah, blah, blah. But there was never anything personal toward me or anybody else that indicated, you know, we needed a Savior. I needed a Savior from sin, and I couldn't save myself. So I needed what Christ had done for me. And believe on Him. Well, before I was saved, I was facing the penalty of sin, which is death. After I'm saved, death no longer has a hold on me. I mean, I may die physically, but not spiritually. And the power of sin is progressively lessening as I and we who are saved submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit through obedience. I mean, this is all factual. So what I want to talk about tonight is pleasing God, because this is a good time to talk about being pleasing to God. So go with me to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. And I want to begin with the opposite. I want to look at a few passages where people are not pleasing to God. They're not many. And then we'll reverse gear to really where the message is. So the first one is in chapter 15, Romans 15, in verse 1 through 3. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. So the first one who is not pleasing to God is those who live only for themselves. And I'm putting the word only in quotes. When you talk about the God of today, I believe that God, that self, is all the God that many people worship today. They're more, everything rises and falls about with self. And they say, oh no, oh no. And yet you watch and you see and you hear, and everything is about me, me, me. That's not pleasing to God. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. And we'll look here in verse 10. Paul is speaking. He has already talked about how surprised he was that after he preached the gospel at Galatia, that after he left, people came in and added to the gospel. And they started believing another gospel, which wasn't the gospel that he preached. And so he was saying, those kind of people, there's a curse that is put on those kind of people that give you more or take away from what's needed for salvation. So verse 10 says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? Yet if I pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So this is speaking about they that seek only to please men are not pleasing to God. Our world is filled with yes men, yes women, yes boys, yes girls, who flip, who flop, depending on the circumstances or the opposition. I know somebody, a preacher, that would start with a, you know, you talk about burning the candle from both ends, and he would talk to this person in this way, and he would talk to the other person in that way, and thereby hope that they never get together and hear what the other one said, because they were completely the opposite. Now, many preachers, and I hope I'm not one of them, change their message or messages to accommodate certain people, to ensure that they are not offended in any way. Listen, everything that I say better have backing from the Scripture, because the issue is not between me and you. The issue is between the Word and you. Never me. I mean, it may sound like me, but it's not. So people that seek to please men have taken us in directions we should never have gone, ever. And it's a mess. Yes, it's a mess. But that is not a person that is pleasing to God. Romans chapter 8. Here's the third one. And look at Romans chapter 8, verse 8. Let's do verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So those that are in the flesh cannot please God. So go back to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 15. You say, well, how do you know that? How do you know that people that are just in the flesh? I mean, I'm standing here, you see me in the flesh, yet there's a spiritual side to me that was not there until I was saved. And so I have spirit and I have flesh. And if I was a person that was just in the flesh, there's no way I could please God. So, I mean, we go next door, and these are Eastern Orthodox, they're Russians. They don't believe in the gospel. They don't believe in salvation by grace through faith. So what can the Scripture say about them? They're not pleasing to God. You can't be. So let me give you three verses. Look at verse 8, 15:8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. And the wicked speaking about those that aren't saved. Verse 9, the way of the wicked is abomination to the Lord. So you've got the prayer, the way, and verse 26, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. So in the flesh, all I could do in the flesh was sin. Sin had the mastery over me. Did not mean I was an overtly wicked person. It's just that I didn't have the recourse to do anything but sin. And if somebody came along and invited me to sin, I would go along with that because that's all I had. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 5, the Lord, or Paul, speaks to the church at Corinth that when the Israelites were in the wilderness, they were guilty of four major things. Number one, idolatry. Secondly, fornication. Thirdly, tempting Christ. And number four, they murmured. And if you read on, the Lord says, and he was not pleased with them and overthrew them in the wilderness. So, you know, these are people that have no ability to do anything with what they were doing. And so they created idols and they fornicated and they tempted Christ and they murmured. Well, murmuring is a New Testament word too, isn't it? And believers are admonished not to murmur. And I guarantee you, if you have been anywhere in the news today, some of you may have murmured. I have not, but it can't escape me. People are saying this and they're saying that. I said, I don't want to hear it right now. I want to keep in a good mood. So I think it's an amazing thing to watch as people go to churches. I'm not picking on churches. I'm observing. And churches where they are bombarded with music that is catering wholly to their flesh, despite maybe religious overtones, religious words or phrases, terminology, and they call that worship. People are being worked up and worked up and worked up. I've been to a couple of these and worked up. And then when you're as worked up it can be, then you get a little bit of the Bible, maybe, if you're fortunate. I think it's tragic to see our lives wearing a spiritual cloak in church, and then the moment we get out, we throw it off because we exchange it for the flesh, which is glad to take it off. The flesh didn't want you to be here tonight, didn't want me to be here tonight. And there's a lot of things that have been taking place, and you face them, I face them. I'm probably better at facing them off, but all the same, they occur. So let's continue. There's a system here that needs to be addressed. Hebrews chapter 11. This is the last one in this section. These are people that do not please God. Hebrews chapter 11. And we read in verse 6, those of us that are familiar with it, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If I heard that I needed faith in Christ to be saved, but I didn't believe the Bible was true, so therefore I didn't know that I could believe that, well, what does that say? You come to God, you must believe that he is. And he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You have to believe what you read, that God meant what he said. If you trust Christ, you have salvation. You have eternal life. You will never perish. You have to believe that. Otherwise, you call God a liar. And really, you're not pleasing God at all. Listen, people can have faith in a preacher, in a minister, in whatever you want to call it. And you shouldn't. Your faith should be here in the Word. You can trust me to a degree, but you better not trust me completely. I'll not try to mislead you. I'll not try to teach you error. But you can't. This is where your trust is. They may have faith in the church. Over the course of the years, so there have been people here that have faith in what we're doing here. But they're not part of it. They're outside the window here, so to speak. And sometimes we believe or have faith in something in the Bible. I was lost. I believed that Jesus was God. I had no idea why. That the Bible was the Word of God, and I had no idea where you ever find that. And that Jesus died for the sins of the world, and I think that he was going to come back. But it was all confusing to me because none of it was ever explained. There were just things that were thrown together in creeds that didn't mean much to me because there was no scripture to back it up and no preaching on it. And so you can have that faith in something about the Bible and something about the preacher and something about the church and still not have faith in Christ. Okay? These are people that are not pleasing to God. Not because I say so, because he says so. So let's shift gears. 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. These are instances where people please God. 1 Kings chapter 3. And this is speaking about Solomon when he took over as the king from his father David. 1 Kings chapter 3. Let's look here in verse 9. And this is Solomon's prayer. It began earlier, but I'm just going to take two verses. Give therefore thy servant, 1 Kings 3:9. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this day so great people? And the speech pleased the Lord. that Solomon had asked this thing. So when we're putting something to those who please God, those who ask right things from Him, Solomon. So how do we make, how does this make any difference? Because we know that he didn't follow through as he got older. He didn't carry that through. And when you look at his life, and you look at this prayer and how he started out pleasing God and then wound up not doing so much, you find out you have to live defensively every single day of your life. You can't ever relax. It's like driving a car. And, you know, they have automatic cruise control. I never use it. Because all of a sudden you'll be going along, somebody's piddling along, and you run right up on them, just about. But you have to watch defensively. Somebody comes up, you don't see them, you've got to be aware. You have to do that. So if you're asking wisdom from God, then you need to be defensive that Satan and other people are going to try everything in the world to try to get you to be unwise, not necessarily saved people. And that's important. I think it takes a predetermination. I'm going to ask right things of you. If I don't ask something right of you, you need to show me. I've gotten a lot of no answers. I've gotten a lot of no's. I've gotten a lot of maybe later, but I've also gotten a lot of yeses. And some things may be because I asked according to the flesh. Maybe my life wasn't measuring up to the for bringing things before him and him answering. So there's a lot of reasons. But when you ask things of God, that's pleasing of him. Especially when you ask things that are according to his will. So in 2 Timothy chapter 2, here's the second one. And I don't want to get these too complicated. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, when I was first saved, I knew none of these things. But you grow as you learn the word. And you begin to understand things that are pleasing to God, many of them in opposition to what's pleasing to the flesh. And so you start as a blank slate. You know nothing about the Christian life, the Christian walk. And then you begin to learn. So some of these will look and say, what I'm going to give you here, I knew nothing about this. So 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Okay, but we're looking at warfare, spiritual warfare. So the person that pleases the Lord is separated for God, or we could say separated unto God. And I'm going to include something that is not as evidently seen here, and from the world. Now, many people pride themselves that they serve the Lord. I'm all about serving the Lord. I'm all about doing this. And at the same time, are engulfed in the world system of things. They think that, yes, I can serve God and have sin in my life and enjoy that sin, not call it sin. Or the opposite. They pride themselves that they're separated from the world. They don't want to serve the Lord at all. They just want to crawl in a little hole somewhere and say, I don't want to, you know, I don't even want any of this stuff in my life. Well, then why don't you go up to Pennsylvania and see if you can join the Amish? They're supposedly separated from the world, but they don't serve God because they believe a false gospel. Now, look carefully. No man that warreth, and who's called to fight spiritual warfare? We are. Every one of you here, every one of you watching, we're all engaged in spiritual warfare. If you don't engage with the enemy, you're going to be destroyed. Now watch what he says. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. How numerous are the entanglements of this life? Sometimes it's your job. Sometimes it's work. Sometimes it's families. Sometimes it's possessions. Sometimes it's friends. And on we can go. They're all there. You'll all compromise truth and separation. And here, he says, you want to be a good soldier for Jesus Christ? You want to please him? You can't be entangled with these things. You just can't. Here we are. We're in World War II, and we're out in the foxholes, and we're the Nazis are out there, and we're fighting the Nazis. And you lean over to your, and then we'll speed it up to present time. And you lean over, hey, did you see the thing that happened in the NFL yesterday? He said, well, that's crazy. No kidding. So here I am. I'm a soldier in the Lord's army. And I'm all concerned about what goes on in the world. Well, I can know it, but if it keeps me from doing and being a good soldier, it's got to go if I'm going to be pleasing to God. Those are separated unto God and from the world. If you're separated to God but not from the world, you're not separated. It has to be a two-way street and just the reverse. Separated from the world but not to Christ. Never serve, never witness, never read, never go to church. You get the story. Okay, number three, Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And I will say this before I read it. These are those who are wholly yielded to God. All right, Hebrews 13, look here in verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Those who are wholly yielded to the Lord please him. Now you say, that's impossible. You say that means you have to have no sin in your life. Let me address this. The reason you would look at that, and I probably would have early on, and think that this is so hard, is because of the teaching that keeps being dumbed down every year so that we think it's impossible. It would not be there if it was impossible. Look what he's saying. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will. You and I have no excuse in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. We who are wholly yielded to God are well-pleasing to him. Have I done that consistently? No, and I don't know anybody that has. But I'm telling you, that's what it says. All right, I'm not going to read this, but in Genesis 5, 22 to 24, and then in chapter 6, 8 and 9, those who walk with God are pleasing to him. Enoch and Noah. Enoch in chapter 5 and Noah in chapter 6. Amos chapter 3 verse 3 says, can two walk together unless they be agreed? No. It's impossible. That's like going two directions at the same time. Different directions. Let me give the example. We're pretty close here to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, and here, look here in verse, where am I at? In verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him, now we're talking about Christian people that are saying, I'm in fellowship, and walk in darkness. Can you be in fellowship and walk in darkness at the same time? No. What does he say? What does he say? We lie. And do not the truth. It just can't happen. So we're looking at people that are well-pleasing to God, that walk with him. Go with me to Psalm 69. It's two here in the Psalms that I think are important to look at. Psalm 69. You're doing really good. Anybody hungry yet? No? Good. Psalm 69. Verse 30, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hoofs. Those who praise the name of God are pleasing to him. But understand something. All singing is not praise. The examples I could give, I could go off on another tangent here. I don't want to. All singing is not praise. All we needed to do is rewrite, we have an anchor, and put in the beat. and make it pleasing to the flesh. And I have now not been well pleasing. You say, well, why is that more pleasing than putting a bead into it? Because the bead is the flesh. The bead is moving you. The music without the bead is moving you too. It's moving you to God, where the other one's moving you away, even though you don't know it. So just keep that in mind. Psalm 113. This is a great, great psalm, a verse in Psalms. We gave Sue and Charles an anniversary present several years ago. It was a lithograph of a local church, and it was not up on a hill, but it was kind of hilly. And underneath was this verse, Psalm 113, verse 3. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. In other words, all the time, when you get up, during the morning, during the day, during the afternoon, and when you go to bed, praise His name. If you're praising His name, you may not get all as well caught up in some of the stuff that's taking you in different directions. All right? Proverbs chapter 16. There are some promises here that are to those who please Him. And look at, where am I? Proverbs 16 and verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. That's an ouch moment. You have enemies, I have enemies. I've had enemies I didn't even know were enemies. And that's saying, I mean, you can't get away from this. When a man's ways please the Lord, even his enemies to be at peace with him. Now, this is different with you being at peace with them. This is the inference that they surrender. They see whatever it was not true about you. And you don't need to go make enemies. I think this verse is going to be tested over and over and over again insofar as our governments are concerned. But it is possible, because all you need to do is read the book of Daniel. The Chaldeans, Babylonians, and the Medes and Persians. And he dealt with the governments. And guess what? They were at peace with him because his ways pleased the Lord. A lot to learn from that. Secondly, in 1 John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, and look here, there's two places here, 3, verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. With chapter 5 and verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Two things talking about answered prayer. Psalm 37 and verse 4. 37 verse 4. Hold your place here. No, go with that, because I'm going to go into the Old Testament. Psalm 37 verse 4. It's better that you see it than I quote it, because it fits just the same as these others. Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight thyself in the Lord, also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. What does that mean? It means you're asking things that God wants you to ask for, and he will give them. You're not asking about you, necessarily. You're asking about things. Delight yourself in the Lord. If that's possible, and it is, then you want his will. And he wants to give you his will. He wants you in his will. Good thing that Bob said tonight. Christians need to remember God's will in our country, in our state, in our lives. All right? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, here's the last one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's the longest. No, it is short. Verse 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, Even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. Do you know that there are people that will go out and they will witness to please men because they're ordered to do it? Because you go into classroom settings and college settings, and there were people that say, you know, you are required to go out and talk to X amount of people. And it was never about, it's a good thing to do. I mean, you may win some to the Lord. It's about, you want a good grade? You want to please me? This is what you do. But there are people that will go out and they'll give the gospel just to be seen of men. No, we do this not as pleasing God, men, but God which trieth our hearts. Listen, giving out the gospel is pleasing to God, I think, if you combine it with Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6. It talks about sowing in tears, being concerned for the people you talk to. You want them to be saved. And sometimes, you know, it brings you to tears. And it talks about reaping in joy. So I think the new year is going to bring about a lot of new challenges to be pleasing to God. We saw the beginnings of them this last year. We were talking to somebody about all the people that we've not seen, and all the people that, you know, are too scared, and all the people that will not come, that can come. And, you know, these are challenges they have to face to please God. But we need to pray for each other that we are ready, willing, and up to the task. And don't ever forget Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day that the Lord hath made. What are we supposed to do with it? We will rejoice. Isn't it? We will rejoice and give thanks in it. Glad in it. Are you glad for today? Hasn't been a pretty day. Are you glad for today? And everything gives thanks. Are you glad for today? Yes. Not happy, but I'm glad. And you know, what happens, and we're here, and we're here for a purpose, and our purpose is going to continue straight down the middle. We're not going to go to the left. We're not going to go to the right. Our hope is not in government. It never was. You can't find any hope in government in Scripture. And you can't find some of the things that we're going to hear from some of the people that normally we would think are spiritual people and what they're going to say. Government can do what it wants to do. We're going to do what we're commanded to do. And when the two get involved, we're going to please God. Because we can only do and say what we've been told to do and say. When they conflict, we'll stand with the Lord. And then if we have to make other arrangements, we make other arrangements. But get ready, because the war has just begun. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your goodness, your watch care, our salvation in Christ. It's a great thing to know that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing. And Paul put that all on the line. He talked about the persecution. He talked about the beatings. He talked about being jailed. He talked about death. None of it could separate him from Christ, the love that's in Christ Jesus. And so we sit here, we stand here, we watch here, hopefully of the same mindset. We belong to you through Christ. Our life exists because of Christ, whether we're saved or lost. It's better to acknowledge that as your child than as just your creator. So be with us for the rest of this night. You go with us as we go to our places. Give us guidance. Help us to dwell on that which is important, and throw off that which isn't. We desperately need to be pleasing to you. And to that end, Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.